Whatever the adventure, there's a BMW engineered to take it on. The X3 delivers a striking design with agile performance. The 100% electric i4, packed with pure electric energy. Or the plug-in hybrid X5, an impressive, versatile SUV granting full control on every journey. Choose what powers your next adventure during the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Football fans, do you want to hear the whole unadulterated truth about where your team stands?
It's the most embarrassing film I have ever watched in my entire life.
Former NFL lineman Mark Schlereth gives his perspective on the top storylines and games on a weekly basis on the Stinkin' Truth podcast.
You may get out of here with two sacks and a tackle for loss, but you're getting out with a bloody nose.
New episodes drop every Monday and Thursday.
It's going to be a street fight.
Make sure to subscribe on the Odyssey app or wherever you find your podcasts.
The following is a KMOX Sports exclusive.
Wynn swings and he drives that to left field.
Welcome to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Back to the track and gone!
Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs.
Burleson hits it hard through the hole at short into left center field.
Now, live from Dallas and the Major League Baseball Winter Meetings. Sponsored by Goodwill. Give local, give hope, give Goodwill. It's Matt Pauley on your home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
On a Tuesday night from baseball's winter meetings in Dallas, we do welcome you in. It is time for a Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley. Great to be with you. We have you for the next couple hours, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening as we continue our coverage from Dallas, Texas and the baseball winter meetings. As so far, not a whole lot to get to today. We'll go through some of what John Mozeliak had to say, but certainly a little different of a tone today, just in terms of not really breaking news to get to or anything. Yesterday was the Nolan Arenado news, and we certainly will talk through that some more today as I've got more thoughts, and I think a lot of people have thoughts on all of this, which is, I get it. Like, this is the winter meetings are going on, and there's one major storyline when it comes to the Cardinals at this point, and it's what's going on with Nolan Arenado. But I feel like for some, they took what Mo said yesterday as this big shocking breaking news that the Cardinals are going to trade Nolan Arenado. And not to be rude or disrespectful to anybody that might feel that way, but it's not breaking news. It's not new. It was just those words were coming out of Mo's mouth for the first time. So I was a little bit surprised at the reaction to it, but also we're at a point right now where John Mozeliak is not a popular figure for a good portion of Cardinals fans. Whether that's a majority of fans or a vocal minority, I don't know. But I mean, even if it's a vocal minority, it's not a tiny minority. It's a legit group of fans that just are not happy with John Mozeliak. And at times that I don't know what he could do other than leave his job that would appease those fans. And so anytime he says something, there are a group of people that are just going to have kind of a negative reaction to it. So he says what he said yesterday. It wasn't breaking news. It was something that we all knew because of the very good reporting from people like Derek Gould and Katie Wu. And it is still received in a way that is like it's breaking news. So I don't know. It was breaking news that it was said. Like, it was notable. We didn't run away from that part of it. It was a very notable thing that he was saying that for the first time out loud. But the actual like circumstances of what's going on didn't really change. Anyways, we'll talk more about that. If you've got thoughts on it later on in the program, we'll be able to take your phone calls. We'll be able to take your text messages. We'll be able to take your tweets as well. We're available for you at 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call or text. You can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air. And if you listen to us via the Odyssey app, or if you just want to leave us a voice message, you can use the Odyssey app to do so. So if you're listening right now, you just look at the Odyssey app. You click the little microphone where you can leave a voice message, and there you have it. You're able to leave us a voice message right there. Also, a little bit of news for you, not totally pertaining to Sports Open Line, but it is something that folks have been asking for. We discuss it a lot because it's new and we want people to know about it. We have our show that we do at 12 noon Monday through Fridays, The Gas House Gang, features Tom Ackerman, Kevin Wheeler, Bernie Miklas, and myself. Sometimes all four of us are on. Sometimes it's just a couple of us. Today was three of us. It was Tom, Kevin, and myself. There have been a lot of folks out there asking for a podcast version of that show available on all podcast platforms, and we can say it is now available to you. If you do a search for The Gas House Gang via the Odyssey app, Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Amazon, Pandora, wherever it might be, you can get yourself The Gas House Gang podcast. So hopefully that adds to the number of people who are listening and gives you a new way to be able to listen. Of course, you can still watch it or listen to it live, 12 noon, the various social media channels. Good to be able to watch it noon because it is an interactive program. You can leave comments for us, and we will respond to many of those comments. So that's the live four-person portion of it is still available, but it is available as a podcast as well. All right, so the news of the day, I think, comes from the mouth of Joel Wolf. And if you're not familiar with him, he is a player agent, and he most specifically for this conversation, he serves as the player agent for Nolan Arenado. And he had a few things to say today specifically, and you can read all this was covered well across baseball writers. But John, I'm just for the moment, I'll read from John Denton's Twitter page. Just want to give credit where credit is due. So this is all of these quotes I attribute to John Denton, who transcribed them. Agent Joel Wolf on Nolan Arenado's trade from the Cardinals. He says, quote, "A team that he thinks is going to win now and consistently for the remainder of his career, he wants a team that has the throttle down. Not saying that the Cardinals don't, but one where he can jump right in and they're going to win right now. He's good. Nolan's a unique individual, so it's hard to describe his headspace at any one moment, but he's good." Another quote from Wolf. He said a geographic destination is not necessarily going to dictate what's going on. Basically saying it doesn't have to be a California team. When asked about the list of teams he might accept a trade to, Wolf said, quote, "It's bigger than you might think." Of course, he has full no trade protection, so he can veto any potential trade. As far as using that no-trade clause, Wolf says, quote, "The Cardinals are motivated to move him, and Nolan is willing to strongly consider it if it's the right place to go, but he's not just going to go anywhere. He has a full no-trade clause, so he has that right, and he's a veteran. We hope something good happens, but he's not going to approve and move his family to somewhere where it's going to be sidestepping. He's in a good place with the Cardinals, and he's not going to go just to go." Another quote from him when talking about being willing to change positions, because there's been talk about Arenado maybe playing a little bit of first base. He says, "Well, that's about is what would make Mo's job easier to get the right team. Nolan is more than willing to move around and play first." The way Arenado phrased it is, "I'll play first." Sometimes teams don't want to ask a player to do that. So Arenado wanted to offer, "I'm happy to play some first. If I can move around, play third base, shortstop, whatever, I'm not insulted to play first. And I can win a gold glove there if that's what it takes, because a lot of teams value versatility." Went on to say he wanted to be the first to offer that so Mo could be able to tell other teams that. So that's where that kind of originated from. They were worried that maybe somebody would think that he'd be offended by the idea of going and playing another position, so he tried to offer that on his own. There are some teams that he has no desire to play for. That list has been given to the Cardinals. In terms of the list. Wolf said, quote, it's more of a would you be okay with this team, okay with that team, because we don't want to waste Mo's time. There are some hard no's of where he would prefer to not to go, so it's been dynamic in the discussion about how it'll work. So the Cardinals have a list. They have a list of the places that he would be willing to get traded to, and if it's not on that list, he is not likely to accept a trade to that location. So, yeah, we'll go we'll run through like those quotes and what they kind of mean and kind of touch on each one on a on an individual basis coming up later on in the program. Also, as mentioned, we'll go through coming up in just a while some of what John Mozeliak had to say during his nightly media session. And we'll see if this is going to be the last one or not. Sometimes Mo gets out of here on Wednesday somewhat early, so there isn't a third media session. Sometimes he's here through Wednesday, and they have that. I can't remember. I feel like, I don't know. It was last year. The last couple of years, I can't remember if he did the third one on a Wednesday night or not. But if he does one tomorrow, of course, we'll have that for you. And a reminder for you, the first Countdown to Opening Day show, that is going to be coming up on Thursday night. Mike Claiborne and myself will be rolling your way every third, generally every third. We'll record it for, you know, it's also a Cardinals Radio Network show. It will be available every Thursday night. I think there's a time or two where, whether it's Thursday Night Football or whether it's Billiken's basketball or something, we on KMOX might have to push it back to Friday. But generally speaking, the show will be on Thursday night. So, and we're going to try to do some fun things with that throughout this year, as that's going to take us right into the baseball. It's it is so incredible how quickly things move once you get to this point. Because when you get to this point, well, winter warm-up and Cardinals Caravan weekend, that's right around the corner. That will happen in just a moment. And then once you get to that, the next thing you know, pitchers and catchers are reporting. So, yeah, we might not be even into 2025 quite yet. We might still be in early to mid-December, but I can tell you, things move quick. Once you get to the winter meetings, things move really quick as we move into the next baseball season. When we return, Mike Claiborne's going to join me. Of course, I host Countdown to Opening Day show alongside of him, and he's been kind enough to join us here on Sports Open Line each night during the duration of the meetings. So we'll talk with Claiborne coming up in just a moment or so. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line. We are in Dallas, Texas. We are at the baseball winter meetings, and we've got more coming up in just a moment right here on KMOX. It's Gray Bar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauley, coming your way from the winter meetings in Dallas, and again joined by Mike Claiborne. A reminder for you, our first edition of the Countdown to Opening Day show is going to be on Thursday night here on KMOX and across the Cardinals Radio Network. Claibs, I'd love to have you on today to talk about a bunch of new stuff, but last night we learned about Nolan Arenado, the club confirming that they are going to trade him. But outside of that, really industry-wide, not a whole lot going on, but certainly for the Cardinals.
Not a lot going on, and this is one of those years where, you know, Cardinals never really break a lot of news at these events. Mo talked to us about the fact that this hotel was where we said goodbye to Albert many years ago. And a lot of teams laid a foundation for what they want to do. And as we talked about it, we're going to see some teams try and get most of their work done before the holidays. I think players would like it that way. The organizations know who they want and what they're going to do with them. So I would not be surprised if we see some things unfold early next week.
Gotten some response to Mo's comments from yesterday about Arenado. There's people out there that are genuinely concerned that Arenado's trade value is tanked by Mo because of the comments. And I push back on that strongly. A, Katie Wu and Derek Gould had already been reporting that Arenado was out there on the trade market. So while Mo said it publicly for the first time, it wasn't new, surprising information. And more importantly, The conversations that are that Mo's having with other executives have included Arenado. So the industry already knew that Arenado was on the trading block. Him saying it publicly has zero impact on that trade value.
Yeah, you're exactly right. This is something that's been ongoing since the general manager meetings. You know, this thing didn't just pop up over the weekend. This is something that had been discussed, and everybody was just kind of probing each other to feel where is the point? What are you looking for in return? How are we going to structure the contract? You know, $74 million is a lot of money over 3 years. And are you going to eat some of that? You know, because Colorado only eats $5 million of it for this next year. So there's a lot of money to be paid on down the road. So, you know, it's just part of the process. Now, I thought we'd be further along. But, you know, that's how baseball works. And how many times have we talked about how we see in the NFL and the NBA and the NHL, that first day of free agency, man, it's like Niagara Falls. I mean, it's deal after deal after deal. In baseball, it goes the other way. As we get closer to spring training, more things will unfold. And I think as we learned last year, that didn't go well for a lot of people, a lot of teams.
It's all related to a salary cap, because in the NBA and the NFL, you got a cap. So go, you know how much money you're going to spend. Yeah. Go spend it early and try to beat everybody else out. And now it's gone the other direction. I've said this a few times. I think it's really important for the sport of baseball to get a spotlight on it and have things happen. And every time we have a slow winter meetings, I think it's a missed opportunity. I would like to see baseball not open up free agency right after the season ends, push it back a little bit, maybe have like a two-week legal tampering period leading into the winter meetings, and then the first day of the winter meetings being the first day the teams can officially sign players.
I like that idea. I like that a lot. Because the focus is going to be on the winter meetings anyway.
Yeah.
If you have deals and announcements to make, it's just good for the game. You mentioned salary cap, and, you know, that's – it's not a four-letter word to Players Association, but it might as well be, because they want to push back on this with everything, all their might. The owners continue to say, we need this. And I think somewhere in between there should be some sort of regulation, some rules we can play by that I think makes it more fair and more competitive for everyone to deal with.
It's an odd situation because for about three-quarters of the teams in baseball, there basically is a salary cap because of the luxury tax. Mm-hmm. And most teams, I think 75-80% of the teams are not going to go above the luxury tax. But there are a handful of teams, they don't care.
No, because, you know, they found a way to make more money, you know, in different revenue streams, you know. And we're always looking for new revenue streams. You know, there was a time where, you know, season tickets were huge. There was a time where luxury boxes were important. There was a time where you found non-traditional sponsors. And now the gambling is now part of baseball. That was a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
That was a no-no. That was, you couldn't even use the word gambling, you know, when it came to talking about baseball. Now that's been a partner of revenue for baseball. So, you know, we're always looking. And there's always a team that's going to find another way to squeeze another dollar here and there in order to make themselves competitive when it comes to payrolls.
It's going to be weird to me forever, the fact there is going to be a sports book or a betting window that eventually is going to open up at Ballpark Village. I don't know when that's going to happen, but that was part
I think
of
it happens in 26.
I think
it happens in 2026.
It's whenever it happens, it is going to happen, and that means a fan can show up to Busch Stadium, go to Ballpark Village, bet on the game, walk into Busch Stadium, watch the game, and if they win their bet on the way out, they can stop by the book and collect their winnings. I understand that's the world we live in now, Claves, but that still kind of gives me the heebie-jeebies.
I you know what? I agree with you. I never thought we would see the impact gambling has on sports because I never thought we'd see it involved. And I think it's turned fans between the gambling and the fantasy leagues. And we watch the games differently.
We do.
You know, we root for different things, unlike players or teams. We root for players and their ability to perform because I have money on this now. And I don't know if that's the best way to do it. I know it has turned fans into a more aggressive beast than what they used to be.
It's also, Charles Barkley talked about this recently, because NBA ratings on TV have just tanked. And Charles made the point, and I think he's right, that the industry, the media industry, has almost made games a second thing. There's all these other, there's these storylines. We want to hear the insider reports. We want to hear about Bronny James not riding a bus in the G League. We want to hear about this and that. And all of a sudden, the games, they don't matter as much because that's not what's being talked about on sports radio, on Sports Center, wherever it is, on podcast. And there's just a lack of the games being the central thing.
And I think there's a lot of reasons for that. I think that we have a generation of fans who follow their respective sport on their phone. They don't watch the whole game anymore. So people within the networks have to find other stories, other things to put on the stick to draw attention to it, and it can wear you down. Mm-hmm. I mean, you know, you watch a pregame show and you're just like, okay, well, where are we going with this? You know,
but of course, my radio pregame show is
I said watch the
okay,
games.
All right.
Radio is the only way to do it. By the way, I'm trying to think of the last time I watched a game.
No, I'm just kidding.
I'll tell you a quick story. We have time.
Oh yeah.
So I'm new in the business. I'm working at KMOX. And Robert Hyland, who ran KMOX and the greatest radio man in my lifetime, he listened all the time. And so there was a situation where I said I was watching a game. We went to a commercial break. We used to have this red phone in the studio. We called it the bat phone, the hotline. And he was the only one that would call that phone.
Yeah.
And it started ringing. I was like, well, look. He laid me out. He said, you never watch the game when you're on the radio. They're in competition with – I mean, he was going up and down. I was going up and down that ladder so much that day, man. And he always reminded me, you never talk about watching a game when you're on the radio.
It's funny you say that because my dad worked at KMOX in the 60s, and he worked for Bob Hyland. And I can remember growing up, we would be listening to, you know, any station, and there'd be a sports cast on, and they'd be promoting the game, and they might say 7 o'clock first pitch on Fox Sports Midwest, mm-hmm. or something. And I would always look over and see my dad cringing because he came from the exact same. I hadn't thought about that in years until you just said that. But yeah, I saw that from my dad growing up, and it's a good lesson forever. The details matter, Clay.
Oh yeah, there's no doubt, man. And I never forget. He said, "We're in competition with those people." I will never ever forget it. But going back to your original point, man, they've got to find other ways to attract people back to the games. Now, I think once we get deeper into the year, the NBA will come back. I think what they're struggling with now is having that dynamic player. You know, LeBron's on the other side of his career. There's no Michael. There's no Kobe. There's no guy on a star-studded team. And that's the other thing. You know, you look at the Celtics. Hey, they won a championship. And we all know Jason Tatum. But, you know, most people couldn't name the other four guys on that team to start. You know, you look at the Lakers, they're a mess. And the other teams don't count when it comes to drawing attention to your sport. And they don't have a marquee player, and which is just the opposite of baseball, where their marquee players were in the World Series facing each other,
right.
In Ohtani and Aaron Judge. You see it in the NFL, which is a different animal completely compared to the other sports. But they have multiple people they can hang their hat on as far as marketing their sport. Baseball has two guys. The two highest-paid guys, by the way, aren't from the U.S. It's now become more of a global sport than it used to be. And that's something that we have to maintain in order to create interest because, you know, there's got to be more people from that other than Peoria, Illinois, or Cobb County, Missouri, that watch the games. And so you have to be more inclusive in being able to reach out and get as many people engaged as possible in order to justify your existence.
That's Mike Claiborne. I'm Matt Pauley. Claibs, thanks for sticking around.
Good to see you, my friend. I can't wait for us to have a lot of fun talking baseball and all things good in the world of sports.
Absolutely. We've got our first countdown to opening day show on Thursday night. This is the Gray Bar Sports Open Line from Dallas. More in a moment on KMOX. Back at it live from Dallas, Texas in the Baseball Winter Meetings. It is a Graybar Sports Open line right here on at KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Coming up after the 7 o'clock news, I did this a little bit yesterday when the Arenado news came down, and then we'll see if we can do it tomorrow as well. Want to give you the opportunity to pretty much chime in on anything Cardinals related. If you've got questions about the winter meetings, if you've got questions about what the Cardinals are doing, if you just want to share your point of view, the open line part of sports, open line, will be after the 7 o'clock news. So we'll have that available for you, 314-436-7900. 314-436-7900. That's how you call. That's how you text or tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air. The news... From a news standpoint, a few things have happened today of note. First off, from a Cardinals standpoint, the Cardinals have the fifth pick. The draft lottery was held today. This is pretty big news, actually, for the Cardinals. The way I started talking about this, it almost sounds like it's an afterthought. Not an afterthought. This is a big deal. The Cardinals are going to have the fifth selection in the amateur entry draft after the draft lottery was announced. So, that is a big move up for them. They only had like a 0.8% chance to have the overall number one pick. But even to get to the number five pick, they had like an 8% chance of that happening. And they're number five. So Nationals, Angels, Mariners, Rockies go 1, 2, 3, 4. And then the Cardinals come in at number five. They actually found out with everybody else. So when the draft lottery happens before the official announcement is made, it happens in a room and people are sequestered, and there's like, you can't have your phone, you can't have anything. And the Cardinals did not send anybody to that this year. They did not have anybody in that room, because you sit there for like 4 or 5 hours after the lottery is actually taking place to when the TV show that announces it actually occurs. And the Cardinals did not send anybody to sit in the room alone doing nothing for 5 hours today. So they found out, as everybody else found out, that they had the fifth overall selection. That's for a team in the middle of a reset. That's a big deal. That's a big deal. You are trying to refill your farm system. You're coming off a year where you had the number 7 overall selection, and you got J.J. Weatherholt, a guy who, if not for injury, might have been the overall number 1 pick. And now you're going to get a top 5 pick, so you're again guaranteed of getting a really high-level, talented player. There's so many reasons to be excited about what's going on right now with the future of this organization. The right now is not as exciting. I'm not going to lie to you. The right now, there are reasons to be excited, but it's not fun for fans when they're hearing about Nolan Arenado getting traded and things like that. And that's the overwhelming narrative that you're hearing about a club for the here and now. I get that that's not what you want to hear. I would argue with you that I think this year is going to be better than expected. I think this year is going to be a really, really important year when it comes to watching young players have the opportunity to take that step forward and maybe put together a pretty solid season. But obviously, this offseason is not about getting better right now. It's about some other things. So when you look at those other things, having the fifth pick in the draft, that's pretty cool. I think I saw that it's the first time in franchise history that they're going to have top 10 picks in back-to-back years. And to come off a year where you had a winning record and to still have a top 5 pick, I think most people will take that. So that's good news. I have had a couple text messages come in. We're going to we'll address those coming up after the 7 o'clock news. Again, you could just kind of put this in. If you've got any comments, questions, thoughts that you want to share, Cardinals related, we will open it up to you just after the 7 o'clock news. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, or leave a voice message via the Odyssey app. We're going to talk a little Blues hockey. We're almost all Cardinals baseball today, but the Blues are back at tonight as they play Vancouver. So what we're going to do here is we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. We'll talk Blues hockey. for just a little bit. And then again, after the 7 o'clock news, we'll jump back and we'll do nothing but baseball and nothing but Cardinals during the final hour of the show. We are in Dallas, Texas. It is the Baseball Winter Meetings, and we've got more coming up in just a moment. This is the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Just a couple minutes left in hour number one of the program as we continue to broadcast live from Dallas, Texas, and baseball's winter meetings. It is a Graybar Sports Open Line here on KMOX. Again, coming up after the 7 o'clock news, our first segment of next hour, we're going to give it to you if you want to take it. If you've got any thoughts, if you've got any comments, if you've got any questions about what the Cardinals are doing, about the baseball winter meetings, any of that, we'll hand it to you. You'll be able to call or text. You can text now. We've got some coming in, and we'll address those, 314-436-7900, or you can tweet at me, at Matt Pauley on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Blues do play tonight. Let's talk some Blues hockey for just a quick moment before we jump back into the Cardinals. Blues wrap up a four-game Canadian road trip tonight. They are in Vancouver to take on the Canucks. That's going to be a 9 o'clock puck drop. If they win tonight, that turns into a really, really good road trip where they win 3 of 4, having won against the Jets and also having won against the Flames with a loss to the Oilers their last time out by a 4-2 score. Head coach Jim Montgomery did speak with the media earlier today in Vancouver. Let's go through some of what he had to say. Philip Broberg was not on the ice this morning during morning skate, but that indicates that that doesn't really have much of an indication right now. Seems likely that he will play tonight.
Well, it's really with not only him, but just time we think, you know, someone has come back from playing a lot of minutes. We're going to make sure that, you know, those minutes are very valuable to our team's success. Maybe pull back on some practice time.
Something else we've seen since he's taken over is I feel like there's been a little bit more consistency in the lines, especially top lines. But when it comes to the power play, we've seen a lot of changes being made as well. For him, that's not really so much a result of the results on the power play, but something else.
Well, I think it's been more injuries that's caused the units to shift. You know, with Falk being out, we tried a couple of different things. And then last game, I think it was really just based on Edmonton's puck pressure.
Joel Hofer is going to start in goal tonight. There's been a trend where it seems like Bennington's playing two and then Hofer plays one. So two starts in a row for Bennington, and then they get Hofer a start. That's been the trend they're on recently. Montgomery talked a little bit about the communication process he has with the goaltenders and letting them know when they're going to play.
I do think it's beneficial for goalies to know when they're going, so their preparation helps. Maybe here in St. Louis, it might be something like where we, you know, Binner plays two and he plays one, you know. But I think we're most importantly, David Alexander and myself want to let the goalies know days in advance, like when they're going, so that they can prepare for it. And then when you spring it on them sometimes the night before or the morning of, it doesn't give them the proper mental preparation that they need to have success.
I like that. I think that's an important thing. I would think most coaches, and things happen. There's moments where you can't control that. Obviously, somebody gets thrown into action, but good to have that type of communication. Last thing. So the Blues have won two. They've lost one here on this road trip. They've got the opportunity to turn this into a really, really good road trip if they can beat Vancouver tonight. So what is the message to the team going into this game?
Yeah, it's us sticking to our process and staying in the moment, knowing that this trip being 3-1 is a big difference than 2-2. So stick to our habits and our details, and we'll let the results take care of itself.
That game is going to get started here in about 2 hours in Vancouver, Blues and Canucks tonight. When we come back, we are going to give the opportunity to you. I've got some stuff to say, but if you've got questions, thoughts, anything related to the Cardinals and to the baseball winter meetings, we'll take your phone calls, your text messages, and your tweets, 314-436-7900. That's after the 7 o'clock news here on KMOX.